Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
Good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy on a sunny day finally down in South Carolina at the wonderful town of Charleston and at the Citadel. It's fantastic down here. And listen, folks, this is American Tennis, and I wanted to say out of the blocks here today that we have so many issues on the table and so many things to talk to. And in the end, I realize more and more each week that I do the show that our problems and the issues will never be solved by bureaucracies. It will never be solved by big organizations. Just like government cannot solve problems of the individual states, the individual communities, individual people, we, tennis, will not be solved the issues by our big bureaucracies. And I wanted to say this out of the block, and I got a couple quotes. And we have been doing shows in the last 4 or 5 weeks with entrepreneurs, and we have one of the best entrepreneurs of tennis and other things in the country right now on today. But I wanted to say this. This is the UR Tennis Network. Call in today at 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853 if you'd like to talk to our guest or to spout off. The mission of American Tennis is for you to stand up and speak out. Do not just go to cliches and facts and surface things all the time. Talk about issues, feelings, and needs, and those things that matter. And if as long as you stay professional, as long as you address issues, not people, you can say any doggone thing you want, and we must make the First Amendment our amendment in tennis as well to speak out. And everybody is so daggone scared, and this is really annoying me after watching all of the upsets at the national indoors in college in the last couple of weeks in the men's and the women's side. And they are playing an abbreviated system we refer to as the Bullwinkle system. I think I said one time, who thought up this? Bullwinkle the Moose came up with this. It is absolutely atrocious, but the upsets are happening right and left, and people say, well, that's good for the sports, the upset. No, it's not. Our sport has to push forward the cream to rise above the others, and otherwise we get a lot of middle-of-the-road mush. And the middle-of-the-road mush is shown in everything that's going on right now. We can't be proud of the Davis Cup. We can't be proud of what's going on with college tennis. We can't be proud of what's going on many other places than our middle ranks. We should be extremely proud of what happened in 16 boys that Francis Tiafoe, Michael Moe, and the other young man that are doing so well in the middle groups. But let's see what happens if those guys can go on. But your mission, stand up and speak out. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for our good men to do nothing, our good people to do nothing. And we hope that you'll call in. We hope that you will continue to speak out and address issues. We need to. ChuckCreasy.net is my website, K-R-I-E-S-E, ChuckCreasy.net. Go there and get information on my summer camps. I'm going to do 5 weeks this summer in South Carolina and in Atlanta, Georgia. And please follow my writings. I know that the pen is mightier than the sword always. You stay addressed. Issues, not people. Don't put things in writing about other people where they can bring it back to haunt you. Just let's address the issues. T3Mentorship.com. This is a place that I'm trying to get some of my writings, some of my videos, some of my different things up as well. ChuckCreasy.net. With all that, I'd like to introduce our guest today, Mr. Bobby Verdun, and he's up here. I think he's on the switchboard right now. I see on the switchboard there, Bobby. Good to have you on.
Hey, Coach. It's great to be here. I'm up in Valencia, New York, under about a foot of snow, opening up a brand-new club up here called Club Life, and it's great to be where talking to someone in warm weather.
Bobby, you're an amazing human being. Let me say that first of all. Some people you meet and you feel like you've known them for your whole life. You're like one of those guys that I grew up with on the playground when we probably had 38 fights, but we've been friends for 38 years. You know, I mean, but we'd be competing in everything we do. And Bobby, we've been doing a series on great American tennis entrepreneurs, which you are one of the best. And let me set the table here for you a minute. I want you to talk about yourself and your own history so that people out there know your vast amount of arenas that you've been in, from the Philadelphia 76ers to clubs to coaching college football, basketball, college tennis, to working with people in just about every walk of life. And this ability that you have to connect with people is a great deal to do with it. But, Bobby, we had a man on named Patrick Barthay from the College Tennis Online, and his group out there a few weeks back is just doing a fantastic job. College Tennis Online, folks, go to it if you want to learn anything about college. They've done this independent. We had a guy named Aaron Fox on with the GRIPSProgram.com. GRIPS Program is an individual earned advancement program, like karate belts, that you can do, but it's one of the best things I've ever done. What wonderful people these are. Last week we had Ed Kratz on that set up his college tennis academies, and also he's been promoting one-on-one doubles for 10 years. Mike Kernodal up in North Carolina. Mike is a brilliant scholar of the game, and he absolutely digs deep into each and every topic, and just is a great resource for everybody out there. We have Randy Blumendahl, and I've got to give him credit, and Gene Orlando, and yours truly. We put together a recent group that of the MDTA, the Men's Division I Tennis Association, that now is, we're not in rival, but we're there to support the ITA in college tennis, but we felt that men's tennis needs an independent voice. So that brings us to Bobby Verdun. Bobby Verdun is one of the best, as I've set the table. Bobby, give me us your history a little bit about your growing up, basketball, tennis, college, and so on. I'm going to let you talk here a little bit about your history. I know you're a humble man, but give us your background a little bit, Bobby.
Coach, and it's just, again, it's an honor to be here with you. I tell everybody I'm the worst athlete I know. and I love to
what
compete.
A start. Okay.
Yeah, it's something. If I can do something with sports, anybody can do something with sports. But you know, I had a passion to compete since I was since I could remember. And you know, when I was a kid, you go down to the playground, you improve your social skills by picking up teams and your leadership skills. And as you said, there's arguments and there's competing and you didn't want to lose to your best friend. And I couldn't get enough of it. I was the first and last guy. I was the first one there every day. I was the last one to leave every day. And my thing was, I just wanted to compete as long as I could. And that carried with me through high school, through college, and got into coaching and found that I could still ignite that passion within by inspiring others to overachieve. And I think my teams were, you know, a mirror of me. We're probably the least talented of any teams we played against, but we won a lot more than we lost. And I think you get so much out of competing and finding
so Bobby,
the best within you.
Basketball, tennis, you played lacrosse and those things up there. Did you play any football? Mm-hmm. You had to have been a scat back. I mean, you're
actually,
5'9", power packed, I know, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I played tennis, basketball, soccer, street hockey, ice hockey, anything. It wasn't what I was playing. It was I needed to play. I needed to play and compete, and
right.
That was just how I was.
Yeah, and, you know, and you were in love with sports, a sportsman, a coach, a motivator, a teacher, all of those things, all of the above, more than just a tennis person. And, you know, back in September last year, we had you on, and you had a great, great show that day, and you talked so many things about our society and the dumbing down, the wimping down, and all of the things that are going on. I don't want to go there today. I want to give the people hope. Instead of talking about the problems, I want to talk about the glass being half full, about what to do to be an entrepreneur. But, Bobby, we just had this – you talked about all the lessons of the playground. We just had this thing solved with the Miami football player about bullying. Give me a break. I mean, is that about the most – wimpy, disgusting thing you've ever heard? I mean, what's your take on that thing?
You know, it's, again, Coach, it's as you have, we've had these conversations, it's the dumbing down, it's the softness now with sports. When I was growing up, and I'm pushing 50, I'm 48 now, you know, you saw things in the locker room. You saw things among the people that were there. These social networking tools and whatnot that have come out, I mean, you cannot Google how to ignite passion. And I find that people are just gravitating to these quick hits and quick easies to solve things instead of finding the substance that's involved in really being great as opposed to good. In that situation, I don't think anybody wins by bringing it out like it did. I just think that the people that were involved had an opportunity to solve it from within, and it just, to me, it just reeked of lacking leadership.
Well, absolutely, and the sad thing, I call it the shoe bomber syndrome. Now it's going to permeate down. It's going to probably be within a month to 2 months, we're going to get a directive from our athletic directors that we cannot, you know, probably use. If we use any profanity, man, that's going to be tough on the coaches. We as trying to be moral people, we try not to use profanity, but my golly, it comes out on the playing field, it comes out in locker rooms, you shouldn't, you know, Johnny Wooden didn't use any profanity, but, you know, I'm just trying to think, you know, if we get dumbed down with, you know, having to watch our P's and Q's and saying, hey, let's, boys and girls, let's go out and have a nice outing today, and everybody be happy. And everybody, look, Bobby, it's just simple. You know, I'm at a tough, tough place. It's an awesome place. But here they preach it's more important what happens in you than what happens to you. There are rites of passage that every young man, every young lady need to go through in their adolescence. And they basically have to man up or woman up to challenges. And the rites of passage into the next level of respect and into the next level of what we're ever trying to become happen through tough tasks. They are not awarded like participation trophies. So, you know, Bobby, just quick thoughts there, and I want to hear a little bit more about you here.
I totally agree, Coach. I think that what I see in sports today is, you know, sports to me is a stage, and we can take tennis. Tennis is like music. It's a language. And whether you're aspiring to make a living teaching it or playing it, when you see two people battling on a tennis court, they're talking to each other. They're given the opportunity to, as you just eloquently said, go deeper in themselves than they probably would think they could. And, you know, as coaches, we always try to get our teams to overachieve because the lessons learned from that effort are going to carry with our players the rest of their lives. And if we cheapen that, if we shorten that journey, in my opinion, you shorten the experience and the opportunity to mold people at a young age.
So beautifully said. Bobby, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I watch Netflix. They had this series there, When We Left Earth, and it goes back to our Apollo program, our Mercury program, back in the 50s, and then starting with you know, the seven Mercury astronauts and everything. And
yep.
I remember that as a child, and I remember Kennedy said, by the end, after Alan Shepard goes up in the spaceship, he said, by the end of this decade, we will put a man on the moon. He spoke to the king and the queen in us. He trying to build eagles out of Americans, not pigeons that peck your feet when
That's
they're
right.
not getting fed. You know, that pigeons that hang around and wait for somebody to make them feel good. You know, so, I mean,
yeah.
It was beautiful because went through every stage, and, you know, up until today where we now are having, dang, they did away with space shuttle, but up until the moon landing and showed all that, Apollo 13 and all that. I'm going to have you talk about yourself here a second. I want to just get the rest of your history, then I want you to tell the story about Apollo 13. The reason I'm thinking about this was a very, very significant day to me in being able to work with you. About the year and a half I did was seeing you teaching the children by having them watch Apollo 13 and Shackleton. And I'm going to,
That's
I want
right.
that. But Bobby, let's real quick go to your history here. I want to get this through this. So you went on to college, played football, basketball, tennis, and then went into coaching, correct? How many years did you coach
yes.
in college?
I was a high school coach for 4 years, and then I coached at the collegiate level for 4 years, tennis and basketball, and loved every second of it. Anytime somebody refers to you as coach, it's worth it's priceless to me. And there's nothing like 2 minutes left to go in the game and you got 10 sets of eyes staring at you looking for something. It's a different field than playing. It's a responsibility I embrace. And what I'm doing now is coaching, but it lacks that intensity of the moment that that I cherish.
Right, and you are coaching. You're teaching people to be entrepreneurs. You're helping clubs get off the ground. You're helping tennis careers get off the ground. You're coaching people, and you have to do this for your family. As many of us know, there's only five ways, Bobby, to make a living in the tennis arena on paper. You have to be a tour coach. You're a club coach or at a resort or a club. You could be a coach at a training center for top juniors or something like we, you know, some very, very good ones out there, College Park, and then, of course, Center Court in New Jersey. They have some beautiful ones up there at the academies up in New York, some of the other ones. Then you have manufacturing representatives. And lastly, you have college coaching. And the reason I brought this up, I got into coaching too, Bobby, because the most people I respected most of anybody growing up were the coaches. Is that correct for you too?
Without a doubt. They was my father figures growing up, and they were the most influential on me as to what I am today. And they still are.
Right, right. Well, see, Bobby, making a living is a tough one in tennis, especially now. I don't want to go into all the statistics that we have in tennis. You know, and how hard it is to make a living, not just as a player, but, you know, the competitive junior group is smaller than it's ever been. We only have 26,000 youngsters in this country playing competitive tennis. Now, Bobby, listen to this. The sleeping giant is high school tennis. We have 350,000 100,000 kids playing high school tennis, but they are not tennis players. In other words, they try to, you know, we approach high school sort of socially, but we're not getting after it, and the kids aren't falling in love with it for some reason or another. But, Bobby, you're in sports. You're not afraid of competition. Do all these things. Talk about branching off and being an entrepreneur and all that goes into thinking about that.
The common denominator that I find, Coach, in successful entrepreneurs in any endeavor, but certainly with tennis, is they've got to be Pied Pipers. You know, and what I mean by a Pied Piper is someone who is not afraid to take the helm and to direct people and not only talk to them, but talk in a way that they'll listen and be inspired. And I find that that's the differentiator right there. If people are Pied Pipers and they have substance, I think all coaches that are successful on any level at anything they do have to have substance. They can't, again, they can't Google it. That to me is the first ingredient, is someone who will not be afraid to be different, who will not be afraid to step out of the box, who will make every practice an exceptional experience for kids. I used to go into every season, and my thought was, I don't want to waste a day. You know, this is we're not in Afghanistan. We're not in Iraq. We're playing sports. I want to make this an exceptional experience. What can I do at practice to be different and yet get my point across? And I find that that's a real key, whether at any of the five levels that you've discussed, whether it's college coaching, high-performance coaching, working at a club, working as a private instructor, trying to make a living. Those are the characteristics that I look for first in an entrepreneur.
Right. You know, and there's the manufacturing rep jobs and in the manufacturing area of it too. But, you know, there's a lot of pros out there listening. We've got a couple on the line here. We're going to wait. If you can hang on, if you're listening to the show today, if you'd like to be on right after commercial and stuff, we'll try to get to some of our callers. But Bobby, most people are afraid. Most people are afraid. Yeah. People want security more than they desire excellence, and more than they want excellence. And can you talk about some of the fears, some of the, you know, problems? I mean, your wife has to think, well, you've got one of the best, but she has to love the excitement of being married to you. But some women would just say, are you kidding me? You know, to leave some positions and go out and start your own company. And then we'll get all your websites here in a minute. But go ahead,
sure.
Bobby. Talk about the fear and what you've had to go through.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, Coach, I was at a point where I had done a lot of really great, and I've been very lucky to be in situations like I was at College Park, and I was at a club called Weymouth Club in Massachusetts, where I was around great people, and it was a win-win. But for me, it wasn't enough, and I had an opportunity to. I believed in myself. I believed at the end of the day, I want the game ball, win, lose, or draw. I'll find a way to pull it out, and that's what I did. And you know, it's been a great couple of years. And I think that's what's important in coaching. You cannot play the game not to lose.
You have to play to win.
You have to take the shots.
You have to take the shots.
Exactly, Coach. And that's what we're doing. We're fortunate to be making a few right now. It's great.
A lot of times when you're noticing people, you're working with them, you notice what they do more than what they say. When I first met you, I noticed you taking a group of kids to the classroom, 20 or 30 kids, and you were showing them this movie that very few people know about at all, but I had happened to see it about a year early called Shackleton. And can you talk about that and what led you to this movie and then Apollo 13 about a month later? We've never talked about this, but this impressed me to no end. So talk about that.
Great, Coach. Yeah, I found early on that, you know, people don't want to just listen to someone about what they believe in. They want to be shown, as you said. So I read about Ernest Shackleton before. He's a man who you want to talk about someone who took chances. I mean, this is a man who braved the Antarctic, which is arguably the roughest ocean in the world. But he had one goal when his ship fell to the, you know, got frozen, it wasn't to bring some of his crew back. It was to bring all of his crew back, and he was tunnel visioned on that goal, and he did. It took almost 2 years, and he saved his entire crew. And I would recommend this to any coach to play for your team. It's a 45-minute movie that you'll walk out of there feeling like you can do anything.
You can do anything. It's just like Apollo, the moon, when we left Earth and some of the great things. But Bobby, is it true at the start of the movie, and you can talk, you know, I like to tell the color here a little bit, but the start of the movie, it said the people signing up, you may die, sell all your belongings and come on the greatest adventure of your life.
That's how
he got his crew.
Is that correct? Yep.
And then
he said, you have a greater chance to die than you will to come back, but I promise you that the journey will be worthwhile.
Unbelievable.
And that's what he said.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So when you were showing this to the kids, I was saying, whoa, okay, there is a different ball game going on here with this man and inspiring youngsters. And I, when I saw you do that, and then Shackleton, of course, got in the ice on his way to the South Pole. And this year, people know that because we just recently had that cruise ship or whatever it was stuck down there, and it took us 2 weeks with helicopters and the thing. But talk about real quick, some people might not know the story, but just tell the quick story about what he had to do to get his crew. It crushed the boat, so there's no way out.
Yeah. So, he had a crew, and the boat got stuck, and he was going to wait it out, but what happened was it got torn apart. So he took the pieces of the boat as they were on an iceberg, and they basically makeshift some of the lifeboats. They tried to row to another island. They wound up rowing for almost 2 weeks, and they wound up right back where they started. So then he makeshift a boat for himself and three others, and it was literally the size of a car. I mean, it was unbelievable. They tried to actually recreate this about a year ago, and the people couldn't believe it, but he made it to an island, and then he had a hike over mountains just to get to a whaling station to get people back to save his crew. It is arguably one of the most enduring
movies.
And
they stayed together on that island, almost froze to death. They had to lay on top of each other, like five of them together. Had to sleep to keep them freezing to death, and then they had to. And it was down in Georgia or someplace down there by in the southern hemisphere.
Right.
But Bobby, what's happening to us, man? I mean, have we lost this entrepreneurial spirit in the USA? Have we lost it in tennis? Are we just so clinging so much to systems and hoping somebody helps us? Please don't bully us. Please give me the right situation. Give me the right racket. Give me the right teacher. Oh, I've got to play the right tournament. Oh, please make the right situation of what's happening to us, and I will try to get in me to be the right thing. What's going on, Bobby?
I find that it's that instant turnaround that people look for. You know, you can get on a computer and you can find answers to history questions right away, instead of reading books about it. And I find that people are getting lazy in their approach to facing situations. And again, when I was growing up, it was about the journey. You know, it was about practice. Couldn't wait to practice every day. Couldn't wait to improve. Now people want to know ahead of time, all right, you know, who am I going to face in the third round of this tournament? Oh, without respecting who they're going to play in the first and second round of the tournament. So
go ahead.
It's that instant turnaround that I think is affecting a lot of things in sports right now.
For how much gain? There's an old saying, every prize has a price, every price has a pain. And people need to understand ahead of time that there is pain, but now we run like scaredy cats. If at first we don't succeed, we try something else. So
they want guarantees, Coach, and there's no guarantees.
Apollo 13, all of you out there, if you haven't seen Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks, Bobby, they saved, you know, I watched that again when we left Earth, and they saved the whole crew because a guy in Houston, the main guy was awesome. I forget his name was Krantz or something in Houston.
Yeah,
when
Gene
they
Krantz.
Say Houston, we have a problem. Yeah, right. And he said, we figured out, a guy figured out how to use duct tape and a in a cardboard box, right, to make the bad oxygen into good oxygen in the landing module that they had to bring back. I mean, it's incredible. But we, Bobby, Midway, we won World War II because we could think on our feet on Midway, and the Japanese basically were going by the book. It's an incredible movie, Midway. Everybody should watch that. So, oh my gosh, we've got so many things. I'm going to ask this caller to come on a second, see if he's got a comment, then we got to go to a commercial here. And caller, thanks for calling. Area code 469955. Would you like to talk to Bobby Verdun today or to make a comment on American tennis?
Hey, Coach, this is Dewey Evans. I was actually just sitting and listening while I drive, but thank you for, you know, having the guest and keeping the show going.
All right. Dewey, thank you very much, and thank you and for all you're doing for so many people. You're down in Texas, aren't you?
I am. I'm in Dallas.
And all those kids in Dallas, and thanks for the work you continue to do with so many youngsters, you know. And what a good man there, and what great things he's doing with so many youngsters. And, you know so many people through tennis, and I think respect goes before the fanfare with great people. You hear about people that are doing things and doing things out of the box. And, Bobby, I want to talk more about this. I want to solve our problem in the USA. at least if we can, with theory and everything, okay? Bobby, we'll be right back, and this is Chuck Creese in American Tennis. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I want to talk to you about our 2014 Total Tennis Training Camps at the Citadel in Charleston and in Atlanta and throughout the state of South Carolina this summer. Go to chuckcreasy.net, that's K-R-I-E-S-E, chuckcreasy.net, and you can sign up and see what we're doing this summer. Our camps are special. For 38 years, we've been helping youngsters develop the physical part of the game, the mental part of the game, which is how to use the physical part of the game with shot selection, momentum control, and other things, and then the emotional part of the game that puts it all together. Tennis is much more than just hitting forehands and backhands. The power of momentum is mentioned in each and every sporting event, each and every week of the year, but nobody seems to talk about it. Since 1979, I've been working on 8 simple rules that you can follow in being able to manage momentum on the tennis court. Learn this and much more at Chuck Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camp. That's chuckcreasy.net, or go to totaltennistraining.com, and we'll see you this summer on the court. Creasy, American Tennis. Coach Bobby Verdun, can I call you Coach? Instead of Bobby, I know how much I appreciate being called Coach, and those of you out there know that the coaches are the people that were solid in your lives when you were young and the people you look up to. Hey, Bobby, I had a question. You know, we've been playing that God Bless American Tennis every week. What do you think of that song?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Do you think we should change it?
No, I think they should play that at the beginning of the U.S. Open this year. That's what I think.
Well,
I think the whole crowd should sing along.
Well, try to start a movement, see if they can. And let me tell you, at first, I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, my brother called me and said, oh, my God, Irving Berlin is he still around? And Kate Smith, they're going to be calling you and said, wow, what a cut on that. But here's why I keep doing it is that, Bobby, there are solid bases of things that never change, that should not change, like Mama's stew that she used to make never changed. It never changed the way my dad approached Sunday morning with us as six children, you know, and how we had to get up and get ready to go to church. It never changed that we had to be to school this time. It never changed that part of the deal with basketball was running. It never changed. And Bobby, we are changing the essence of tennis in all of these things that we're doing. We've got some issues going on. This might draw some callers here, but I'm not talking down any good systems for learning, but the scoring is our most precious heirloom in tennis, and we are now even changing scoring and trying to do a hoochie-coochie show and getting more people into stands and this and that. This is, to me, an abomination. This is, to me, just, it goes against everything that is sacred to think that we should be able to change a scoring system. And I could not be more upset. Mitchell Frank, one of the players we love at the University of Virginia, who has worked long and hard to get 2% edge on other players. And a 2% edge in tennis, as you know, you can beat a person 1-1 if you have 1 or 2% edge. But that 1 or 2% is wiped out. This last week, he took some hits. University of Virginia took some hits, and we hats off to Ohio State University. They won the Bullwinkle Indoor Scoring System National Championship, whatever that means. It ought to have at least an asterisk. Ty Tucker, please call in. Love you, man. You train your guys harder than anybody. But daggone it, ought to have an asterisk. We have an asterisk, Bobby, when it's a wind-aided 100-yard dash, but we play this Bullwinkle system. We had Elon beating Duke. Hats off to Elon for doing that, but, you know, Duke, tennis is not that kind of sport. Peyton Manning would have loved to have had arena football the second half of the Super Bowl, or nine points for a touchdown thrown instead of run. Bobby, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're trying to fix something that isn't broken, and it's just unfortunate because you try to shorten the match for the fans. But what you're actually doing is you're shortening the opportunity for the players to have the full experience of playing college sports.
Wait a minute. I'm writing that down as we speak. You're shortening it for the fans, but you are taking away some of the precious time that your youngsters get to play their college sport.
That's right.
Where have we gone with it's entertainment versus education? I've learned that people do not think in depth like you do usually, Bobby, about the – I always think of the bastardization of things like the scoring system. I think in terms of you've got to win three in a row. If you don't win the first point of the game, you always have to win three in a row or four out of five to win a game of tennis if you can't group points. And then statement I always use is little difference, subtle differences become big advantages late in the match. I have a slice backhand. By the way, you beat me the last time we played. You had a slice backhand and mine wasn't working. That may have been was a big difference late in the match. The scoring system's done. But in the end, Bobby, people want to understand that might get more traction is saying, oh, there's more cheating. You know, it's so shallow to even think that way. But we're bastardizing a great sport.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you and I both know how hard a kid like Mitchell Frank works. And for him to be shortchanged midway through his college career. It, to me, it's just a disservice to him and to the game, frankly. I mean, I know in my time at College Park, watching kids like that just grind it out and just persevere, to me, was why I wanted to watch him and why I wanted to watch the game to begin with.
It was inspirational to just watch him train. I remember taking 20 youngsters back on the clay courts in the very back of the complex there and watching him train. And I asked these 12, 13-year-olds, what's special? And the kids were going, I don't know. Let's see, maybe his serve is good. And I wrote it out that, you know, basically Mitchell in a 200-point match has the ability, okay, the other guy is going to win 75 points straight out. Mitchell might win 55 points straight out. So now that leaves you with 70. Is that correct if I did my math right? 75 points. Well, out of those 75 points that are war zones, Mitchell knows how to win, 45 to 30. War zones, tough points. I will ask, and I ask the kids, well, what's the difference in that 45 to 30? And they always go 15. I said, no, it's 8. It's the points he won, the points the kid didn't win. If it's 8, it's not. It's like an election. It's you win. Mitchell Frank knows how to win 8 points over a 3-hour period. The other kid doesn't know how to win, and it breaks the other kid's back. It is not about slapping winners. It's not about, oh, this is exciting, we have a Bullwinkle situation here. No ad. This no ad is ridiculously stupid, and I coached it for 14 years. And players out there, if you played it, coaches and players out there, the only reason everybody got better in the 80s is we got to play 80 matches too. We weren't limited to 25 matches. We get to play all summer, but we had about 80 matches in college. It wasn't dumbed down to 2 or 3 hours of practice a day. And you got better for other reasons, but sure in the heck wasn't no ad scoring. Golly.
Yeah, I agree, Coach. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you watch the game of soccer, and sometimes it comes down to penalty kicks at the end of a game. I never understood that. You know, you play this whole game for 80 minutes, and then it comes down to free shots. It's the same thing when you just bring it down to a tiebreaker after a grind-out match. It just makes no sense to me at all.
Are this rally scoring in volleyball? I used to watch volleyball because it was so intriguing, the depth and the skill of being able to play good defense to cause side out, and then they would break the other team down. Why volleyball coaches don't get that, I do not understand how they've dumbed it down with this rally scoring. So, Bobby, getting back to entrepreneurs, okay, talk to me about your scariest time you have ever had as a man, as a father, as a husband, as you went through a changing period, and it took a leap through the black door. We're going to talk about the black door in a minute.
Sure. I know that black door story still stays with me. Well, you know what? My black door was this. I had a great opportunity up here in the Boston area, and I could have stayed there forever. And I had this other opportunity that was put in front of me with no guarantees, and it was basically going from a guaranteed salary to nothing. And I was starting from scratch, and, you know, when you have two kids, you just moved up to the area, you have a wife, and you're trying to get settled in a community, and you don't want to move your family again, had a long talk with my wife, had a long talk with the kids, even though it was hard for them to really understand. And then I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what, I want the game ball. And if I'd rather have taken a chance than gone to work every day for the last 3 years and saying, what if? And I just couldn't live with that. And, thank God I have a supportive family, and I have made some pretty good decisions as far as, you know, the direction of the company, and I've got a great business partner, and we've done very well.
What's your website real quick, and then I got another ask you another question. We're going to do it a few times. What's your website?
Yeah, it's Atwood Consulting Group, A-T-W-O-O-D, Atwood Consulting Group. And we're actually the number one Googled consulting firm in the world right now. If you Google Health Club Consultants, we'll come up number one.
Health Club Consultants, folks, Atwood Consulting Group. Go ahead and Google it and see how they can help you. If you're at a club and you need some help either filling up your membership, getting the right pros in there, getting the right management in there, and so many of these things, the connections you have, Bobby, are just amazing. And I think people know what kind of man just by listening to you. But tell the tipping point moment of when you just said, I got to go do this. I know it's risky, it's scary, but I got to go do this.
Sure. I remember I was at a facility that I was managing, and I was walking through the facility, and, the programs were going on. It was great. The club was clean. We had memberships coming in. I sat down at my desk, and I said, there's just got to be more than this. There has to be. And I know that sounds crazy because a lot of operators out there would have been very content. I was looking for a challenge. I really was. I felt like this was it. I'm in my mid-40s. If I'm going to go for something, this is the time to do it. Thinking about it for a while, and I just said, again, I can't be content. Either get better or worse every day, Coach, in my opinion. And I was getting worse. I was just there. I was stagnant. And that's when I picked up the phone and I said, all right, we're going to make a change here, as crazy as it sounded. And it's been great.
Well, there's a talk I learned. I wish I could remember who this was. It might have been Joe Dennis or it was somebody giving a talk. This is back 1980. It's Randy Bernard. It might have been. It was in the Southern Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And whoever this was, you can call me and tell me. But he said that people work for six reasons only. Material reward, financial reward, association, appreciation, self-improvement, or service to others. That stuck with me tremendously as a young coach. But those six reasons, people are sort of locked into those. And Bobby, so you're saying that the financial, the material reward, regardless, wasn't enough for you?
Absolutely. It just was very unfulfilling. I wasn't making much more of a difference once it got up and running. And to me, I like making a difference. I like impacting. I like going into situations that nobody else wants to go into and proving that it can be done. It's that challenge that you live for. And to have the opportunity to do that on a daily basis right now is just so fulfilling for me as an individual.
Bobby, many years ago I heard the story. I'm just going to tell this quickly. The story of the black door. I had a young man that couldn't make breakthroughs, and he was a good young man, but the long story short is that a moment of truth, who is not a tanker or somebody pulls the plug. He pulled the plug on a match and I kicked him off the team, said, come see me Monday. Nobody tanking is not an option in the program ever. And this good young man walked into my room, my office crying and saying, coach, I'm not a tanker. I don't know what happened. I froze. I got afraid. Afraid of what? I said. He said, the kid could not, this was going to be a breakthrough match. My assistant looks at me and says, coach, I heard about this today. This is in business. This is the legend of the black door. And I only tell this, Bobby, because it pertains to what happened to you. You had to go through a black door. And I said, what's the black door? He said, when you get so afraid you can't move, you just stay in the comfort zone. And I said, well, what's the black door, Bill? And Bill Brown told me this. Bill said, it's the story of a Persian general captures an enemy spy and he puts him in front of a firing squad. At the last second, they get ready to shoot him. And they said, general walks out to the spy and says, one last chance, spy. You can either take the firing squad or what's behind the black door. And the spy said, well, what's behind the black door? And the general said, well, I can't tell you. It's your choice, firing squad or black door. So in the spy's mind, he's thinking, oh, my golly, there's tigers back there. They're going to rip me apart. Fire ants are going to, they're going to bury me and put honey on my head and let fire ants and bees eat me, eat my bread. They're going to have snakes. It's going to be a terrible, terrible death. So he goes, no, 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 let's get this thing over with. And so they go ahead and shoot him, carrying him off, and a young corporal walks up to the general and said, well, what's behind the black door? And the general said, why, it's freedom.
Freedom.
But no man has ever chosen it. Do you see how it is with men? All men would secretly will take a death that they are comfortable with then to experience the unknown. And then it goes further to say, you must look forward a month, 2 months, 3 years, 5 years, 15 years and say, will I have a regret? What will happen if I don't go through this black door? The greatest sorrow is to remember when and have regret of what might have been. I think that was sort of a poem, wasn't it, by the greatest, the saddest sorrow is of quill and pen, the...
Yeah.
Greatest regret, what it might have been. Who, Longfellow or somebody wrote that?
Yeah.
But, but Bobby, what is it with us where we play or playing it safe? What, I mean, talk about your fear a little bit more, because I'm so in awe of what you did and the risk that you took.
Well, I mean, for me, Coach, it's like anybody else that has been involved in sports. The worst thing you can hear is, you can't do that anymore. You can't play. You can't do that. And I, my black door, for me personally, is not having the challenge. I just love to compete. I love challenges. I love the opportunity to compete. And I don't really think about losing. I just think about ways to win. And as trite as that sounds, it's how I've always been.
But you'd rather
music,
play and lose than not play, correct?
Exactly, because I want to play and have the opportunity to figure out how to win. And I, getting back to your scoring system, I think when you take away the deuce games, it takes away a lot of that, you know. It takes away that thinking aspect, that the whole idea of working the problem. That's Apollo 13's whole premise, is how to work problems. And for me, my black door was very simple. I hated stagnation. I hated easy. I needed a challenge. I wanted a challenge. I craved a challenge. And I never worried about the challenge being too great, because it just meant roll them up harder and let's go get it.
Bobby, I fear so much that our young people with the cell phones and the computers and one-dimensional, okay, first of all, they've taken away art, music, a lot of sports, cursive writing, drama, all of the things that touch the heart and are passionate in a young person's being are being taken away. But the entrepreneurial spirit with the immediate, you know, I mean, now they just look it up on Google. They don't have to even search for it.
Yep.
The inquisitive mind is being destroyed in our youngsters.
Well, the common denominator I find in entrepreneurs, Coach, is you got to be creative. Take away music. When you take away sports, when you take away art, you take away the creative side of life. I think sports is an incredible opportunity to be creative and to put forth, you know, yourself out there, express yourself. And when you take away all of that at an early age, you get dulled down. You get very simple. And that's where the entrepreneurial spirit tends to die. If you don't include the creativeness and the energy, that's what entrepreneurship is to me.
The fear, many years ago, my first year coaching, a guy said to me, he said, always tell your young, this was an old crusty coach, he said, always tell your youngsters that courage is not something you are born with. Courage must be learned, but the prerequisite is great fear and even terror or even danger. And we have the ultimate high beta sport in tennis. It's always you're on the verge of winning or losing. And I guess I am looking for those youngsters, those folks who would be astronauts today, and we don't even have kids talking about this. Bobby, I get so dang aggravated. Give me a few rules to live by as an entrepreneur, Bobby Verdun, and I'll give you. We'll chime in on a few here. And anybody wants to talk, please call Bobby here at Area Code 714-583-6853. A couple rules to live by as an entrepreneur.
Well, the first one, in my opinion, Coach, and we've talked about it, is good is the enemy of great. And if you settle being good, you never have the opportunity to be great. And you know, the second rule I have is energy. Any entrepreneur needs to bring energy. Energy can be positive or negative, but you need to bring energy. And then you need to be creative, and you need to believe in yourself and figure out and find a way. I think if people find a way, whether you're teaching on a public court, whether you're a coach, wherever you are, I think it's important to instill those big factors into your players, and you'll see a difference. And you'll make them, inspire them to be entrepreneurs.
This is brilliant advice. You know, you remind me, I'm trying to get on a man named Pike Rowley, who's one of the best real estate investor brokers in Florida. He was a tennis guy that broke into an entrepreneurial thing, but he said the same thing. He said, collect your failures one time. He said, collect your failures by putting it on the line and learning from your failures. Then he said the same thing you said, there's no motion without emotion. And
right.
good, the enemy of great is brilliant. Bobby, people who work for me, I tell them absolutely I would rather give you forgiveness than permission. You better be swinging for the fence. Do 9 things wrong, get 1 right. Now, I'll stay on you and monitor you, but I'd rather give you forgiveness and permission. Would you say this is a good thing for entrepreneurial?
Absolutely. You know, you got to play the game like you can't lose. And if you play the game like you might lose, you never reach where you can be. I wish upon wishes that people that I work with, by the way, Coach, wherever I go, I start them out with the black door story that you once gave me. I love that story. But to get them through the black door, they've got to feel empowered to do so. And you certainly do that as a coach better than anybody, and that's what I try to do in my role.
Bobby, bureaucracies don't do that. They do not empower. Government down, top-down management does not empower the individual. Our ground troops must be strong. That will make a strong tennis world. But bureaucracies, had a guy, Steve Bellamy, on here. What an entrepreneur that guy is, all the creating things that guy did, the Tennis Channel and so much more. But he said one time, he said a bureaucracy is sort of like a great house that you build in the 50s or 60s, then you start adding rooms on, and then you add another room, and then pretty soon, one day you got to find a screwdriver, and you got to walk through 5 bathrooms, 4 hallways, and on, and then you forget what you were looking for, and even just the simplest tasks do not get done by bureaucracies. And the only hope we have, Bobby, is empowerment of the folks out there. Stand
That's
up.
Right.
And, you know,
That's
stand
right, Coach.
Up, speak out, folks. Stand up, speak out, address issues, not people, and daggone it, we have the First Amendment rights, and if you ever give up on that, we are sunk. Bobby Verdun, AtwoodConsultantGroup.com, correct?
That's right, sir.
AtwoodConsultantGroup.com. Folks, Bobby Verdun, it's been great to have you on today. We got to go. But folks, tune in every week.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of his USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
Coach Chuck Creasy here signing off, and we'll see you again next week, Wednesday, every Wednesday at noon on the UR Tennis Network. Thanks to Bobby Verdun. What a great, great show. And, folks, remember our First Amendment rights and speak up. Speak up, stand up for what you believe, and let's have those discussions. Remember that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. God bless you, and have a great week. See you next week.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.